Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin, and I am here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Devin, what do you got for us today?
I'm going to ask for you to finish the last line of this quote, Dustin, and you'll know when, all right?
Okay.
Here we go. Be patient. Be patient. Don't be in such a hurry. When you are impatient, it only makes you worry. Remember that God is patient too. And think of all the times. Go ahead.
When others had to wait for you.
Boop, boop.
Nice. That's great. I was like humming, you know, bouncing along to the beat in my head really slow, like
I was trying to read it like William Shatner when he does those like ground control to Major Tom.
Yeah.
That's great. Countdown on. So yeah, that was a song that our mom used to sing to us, and you know, it was always really annoying because you were you were already upset about something or like, come on, it's taking forever, and she would be patient,
you're like, no,
don't be in such a hurry, and that's like all she would make it to, or she would keep going where you're like no until you started like laughing or just walked away,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, that little song, but it's I mean it's a good one to get drilled in your head. The main point is wait, think of all the times people had to wait for you.
Right.
Yeah. So don't get upset. You could be on the other end. Just relax.
Yeah.
It's only going to make you worry. It's only going to make things worse. Just relax. It'll be okay. Be patient.
Does that have to do with our the knife video coming out?
A little bit. I was thinking of that. But, you know, you can't always be patient. Sometimes you have to bust through it.
Yeah, right.
But I was thinking, an early recommendation, I'm going to do mine now,
okay,
is a huge channel called Linus Tech Tips, LTT. Mm-hmm. They are a YouTube video making machine. Like, that's what they do.
Right.
They make 17 videos a week.
Whoa. Holy
17
God, that's crazy.
A week.
That's nuts.
It started out as this guy, Linus, who actually he worked for a computer company, just fixing computers. And he would do like tech tips. Man, it was just that. That it just built, and now and then they used to shoot in their house, and then they made so much money or became so big that they bought a studio and then they just made sets that look like a house.
Nice.
So it's like the kitchen set, the office set, but it's all on a big stage, you know.
Big sound stage, yeah.
But so they did a video, and for just to put that out there, if you go, it's super clickbaity. All their thumbnails are people making like, oh, ooh, ah, like those type of faces.
Right.
Like it's, and the people like Linus, he's okay. And they're, but if you're looking into tech stuff or you're like trying to build a computer, the whole company is all nerds.
Right.
So that, and they're the people who will like scoff at you when you say like, oh, I just got a new Dell computer. They're like, oh, okay. So, you know, they'd like give you crap for something like that. But those are the exact people you want to go to for tech tips.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Cause they'll go, oh, well, that's a waste of money. I could get that for half, or I could build you one for the, you know?
Yeah.
So they have, but so I was watching their video, how we make 17 videos a week. And it kind of, I think it's a version of, I don't know if you ever saw Dustin, South Park did How We Make an Episode, and they make them all in a week and they put them out like that week.
Mm-mm, no.
But they did that, you know, the Matt Stone and Trey Parker, they did, but theirs was kind of funny. I mean, it's South Park, right? And so theirs is good. Yeah. And their rush is towards one goal, towards an episode.
Right.
So you get to see the writer's room and this and that. And it's really entertaining. And they're two of the funniest guys on the planet. So,
right. Yeah.
It was a push and there was some anxiety, but now the Linus Tech Tip version was everyone's stressed and they've got like five editors and five writers and all these schedules and they're constantly shooting. And this guy, Linus, he's in like three videos a day and does a podcast and this and that. And he has to come and they got to do pickups for sponsors. And
right.
He is so worn out and anxious, and they put it on a little bit for the video. I think they you know, like, oh my god, how are we gonna get it done, blah blah blah,
right?
But
yeah,
it just, you cannot be patient in that situation,
right?
Like, you have to keep moving. But I'm also thinking, why do you set yourself up as a huge successful channel to, if you're the main guy, if you're Linus, why do you do that?
Right.
Why do you make it to a point where you're just beat and running around and got to get this done, got to do this one. Oh, tomorrow you got two, and then can we crank? It's that kind of thing constantly.
Right.
I mean, in the video, he says, or they say, that he has certain days off. Maybe he only does Tuesday through Friday, which in the real world is a great schedule.
Exactly.
And I guess you could be working your butt off roofing or, you know, installing floor or working for UPS. So I guess that's okay. But you get to a point where I feel like their overhead is so huge where he has to, you like get so big that you have to do those things just to support it.
Right. Exactly. And I think also, you know, when you get to that point, you have to make a decision. Do you want to push and get bigger and bigger? And do you want to hire more employees? And do you want to, like, you know, try to expand? And if you do, and you bring those people in, then you have a responsibility to make money for them, you know? So exactly. Like, what's your end goal? You know, is it to make a ton of money, or, you know, because if it is, then you got to push, right? You got to do what you got to do. You got to work hard and you got to do it. You know, obviously I think anyone who starts a channel, you know, somewhere in your mind, your end goal is like try to make some money out of this.
Yeah.
But you have to decide, you know, how much your time is worth. It reminds me, I was just watching Samurai Carpenter. Jesse DeGeest has his channel, Samurai Carpenter. He's been doing a whole series of this boat build. He's got this like barge type boat that he bought, and he's been fixing up and renovating so that he can take gear out to this property that they bought. And he was talking about the reason why they bought the property was like his father-in-law just passed away a couple months ago from a heart attack, like kind of out of the blue. And his wife was saying how important they, like when they were kids, her parents bought a little property, their like cabin, and like how all of those memories there were like their best memories from her childhood. And he was talking about, you know, being this YouTuber who has a, you know, almost a million subscribers, and you know, he's got this goal to, like, let me build a big complex and do a bunch of classes and be part of this community, and this kind of big goal that's like building and building and building. And he had to, like, take a step back and realize, you know, what's important in your life. Like, how much time do we have guaranteed? You know, none. You have no guarantee. You know, how long is your life? How important is your family? How important are the people around you? And what do you want to do with these different time frames you have? You know, he's got four kids. His oldest son is like 10 or 11. You know, so he's got four kids. Like, and so maybe he has another 15 years or so before they're all gone. You know, like, before they're all out of the house and doing other things. You know, like, maybe 18 years. So he's like, so he decided to pull that big dream a little bit, you know, instead of dreaming big and trying to do all this right now. He's like, let me take this time, buy this cabin, this off grid, put some time into it, you know, like, shoot videos from there, bring people out, do build stuff, like, still do stuff we need to do. But, like, what's important in your life during this time?
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing stopping him in 15 years. I mean, Jesse's probably in his early 40s, I would imagine. He's around our age, you know. He's not, so say he's 55, right? You know, he's still going to have all this, like, built up, you know, acclaim from YouTube, blah, blah, blah. And even who knows where we're going to be in 15 years from YouTube, but he'll have this, you know, he can do this dream in the future. It's not like going to disappear completely. So,
right.
It was really cool hearing him talk about that and kind of just have this real talk, to the community. And he was getting choked up a little bit about losing his father-in-law and, you know, had that on the video. And it was just like, it kind of just, he realized, like, what's important. You know, I'm going to do this now because it's important now that my kids have this and we all have this thing that we can do together as a family for the time that we're together, you know? And I was like,
yeah,
it's important. You know, how much time do you put into everything else other than your family just to be able to make money? I mean, obviously we're in a society where we need to do that. You have to work a certain amount of hours, but do you work for yourself? Yeah. How hard do you push? Do you push to just get by, or do you push to, like, be comfortable, or do you push to just push? You know, because you see this goal, this growth that could keep going. You can make more and more money, but, like, what's that money worth if you don't spend any time with the people you love? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's the constant YouTube analytics pointing out things. It's like having a guy in your living room every day pointing to a chart saying, hey, look, this went down here. Maybe if you try this or that, but last month you had this many and this and that. It's like, just, yeah, shut up for a minute. Like,
yeah, right.
The chart that they don't show, let's say there's the down chart, right? Over the last 3 months, it's gone down and down and down. Like, okay, all right, what else can we do? But also, there should be a time of you doing things for your family and for yourself. That chart also goes kind of the opposite way.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So let's say you've made less videos and you've gone down and down. The other chart, the life chart, is ticking up, but we never see that. Like, oh, hey, you went on a trip. Oh, hey, you went out to the movies. Oh, you took your kid to here. Oh, you went for a walk. That chart. Right. And if we did see that chart, if we had that pointed out every day, like, hey, you know, you haven't gone anywhere with your wife, or you haven't taken the family out, or you haven't seen your buddies in this long.
Yeah, that chart's going down and down. Yeah,
right. Like, that's just like, oh man, this thing is tanking. So like, in 2018, it was doing so well, and now it's crashed. Like,
that's a great perspective. Yeah, the life chart. We'll have to make another we'll make another shirt. You know, you got the Maker Switch shirt and the analytics, like, of life shirt. You know, like, you're going up. Your activity this weekend is rating 4 out of 10 of your last activities.
Yeah, you haven't live streamed in a month, but your life chart is skyrocketing. It's amazing.
I like that. That's just a great perspective, you know, like, and obviously the goal for all of this is to be able to balance those things, right? Do something you love. So that way when you're working, you don't feel like you're working. You feel like you're doing something you love. And that's the great thing about you and I together, right? We do get to spend time with our family. You know, it's like, we get to spend time with us, family, and do stuff that we love to do.
Right.
But it's still taking time away from our immediate families, you know, our wives and children. So,
yeah, right. And we have it relatively easy.
Right.
Other than this last couple weeks and right. that part, which I guess we can talk about now.
Yeah. Yeah. And even that, I mean, you know, it was a lot to get it done, but it wasn't, I mean, we maybe filmed a couple more days than we normally would have. We made concession to do that, you know?
But, yeah. The editing and was long, extra heavy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so when I wasn't shooting and when I wasn't working the O's, I was squeezing in editing time. Like,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't hold the baby. Or, I mean, obviously it wasn't that bad, but right. like you kind of have to, hey, babe, you kind of have to take care of things for a few hours.
Yeah, for the next couple hours. Yeah, for the few hours and the next couple days. Yeah, like
just pretend yeah. I'm at work.
right.
I have to focus.
Yeah, I say the same thing to Nicole. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to need you. Like, you're going to have to take Corinne to, you know, softball, and you're going to have to take her to piano, and you're just going to have to this week because we got to get this done. And obviously what we're talking about, if you guys listen to the podcast the last couple weeks and, you know, following along Instagram and whatnot, you'll know that we're talking about the YouTube Knife Maker Challenge, what we're part of, which is 10 in total knife maker or YouTube content creators who are making knives. There's us, Housework, Brian House, there's Blackbeard Projects, Redbeard Ops, Green Beetle, Sperber Knives, Faraway Forge, Tyrell Knife Works, Ailey Knives, and who am I missing? One more. Somebody. The Rivers Experience.
which I said wrong.
The Rivers Edge Experience. I don't know why I said the Rivers Edge. Maybe it was just like in my mind it was Rivers Edge because it's a knife related term or something. Right. I don't know.
We'll have to have him on and apologize.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. He does good videos. I watched a couple of his videos on YouTube. So yeah, we're all making Gyoto chef's knife, which is just a kind of a Japanese version of a Western chef's knife. So kind of a utility. I think the parameters are something like between 7 and 10 inches for the blade from tip to heel. And the version we made is a K-tip, which is K-tip is short for Kiritsuke, which is the Japanese version of it's a different version of a Gyoto. So it just has a cut-off tip instead of a rounded tip. I think that's right. The main thing that makes it a K-tip. But it's turned out really good. I think since last week when we talked on the podcast about it, we filmed the last 2 days, which was shaping the handle, sharpening, and then the ending, which I think was really good. I was like, man, I looked really good in that light in your kitchen. I was like, dang, this looks good. I was like, there's good lighting in there. I don't know what it was.
Slimming.
Yeah, it was. I was like, that looked pretty good. I was like, the color on me was good, and yeah, I don't know. It was like, it was a nice little backdrop and good light on me. I don't know what it was, but.
And there's a shot. So, you know, we always do the stand up ending, right? And straight ahead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I go off to one side and I shoot the inserts of whatever he's holding, you know, so you can use that not only to see the thing he's holding, but to split it up and take different takes, right? And switch around takes to what you want.
Right.
Which is the trick that if you don't know, that's anytime you see an insert on a video, well, not anytime, I'd say 50% of the time, it's just so they can use another take to continue with. Like, hey, we love this intro.
Without a jump cut.
Right, yeah. But this middle part is what we want. And they seamlessly, hopefully, you know, smooth it out as you're looking at the insert. And then they're on to take 3. And then the end, they can end with take 6, you know, whatever.
Right, yeah.
But I'm wedged in the corner. And Caitlin, my wife, was watching. She's like, how'd you get back there? Because I'm like right next to you. I'm like, okay. They don't know how big our kitchen is, which it's tiny. But from there, it looks like there's a whole side open next to you, Dustin, that we can't see. But there's really not. There's a wall right there.
Right, exactly.
But it wasn't. Yeah, it's always fun to get in like just different spots, different. Like we're so used to shooting in your kitchen and your basement. Anytime we go anywhere else, it's like a field trip or something. You're like, interesting. Well, yeah, we can do this here. Like, oh, that'd be cool.
It looks different. Right. Yeah, because once we, you know. Our plan was to finish on Saturday to do all the shaping of the handle and the sharpening and then the outro and the pictures and stuff. And we ran out of time because you had to leave at a certain time. And so, yeah, that was later that day. I was like, how about I just come to your place tomorrow? You know, like we could just do it there. That way, you know, you don't have to worry about bringing the baby out and come there. We could do the ending and everything there. It was like, in my mind, it's like, we could do it outside, we could do it inside, we could do it wherever. It didn't really matter. You know, you have a kitchen, which is kind of the ideal spot to do an ending for a chef's night video anyway. So, you know, I figured that would work well, and it did. And I looked really good in that last shot. I don't know why, but it was like, hey, I was like, all right. And that the whole video,
slim guy,
it looks really good. I was super impressed. That the whole, like, kind of, I guess, slow motion montage of the second grinding.
Yeah,
was really nice. I was like, man, this is nice. We got to do like slow motion montages more often, because this is great.
Montage. It does look really cool, because and the great thing about that too is, if you just do little moves, like I shift my body a foot to the right or left or forward or back, you get this great moment in slow motion. It looks like the smoothest dolly move ever.
Right.
Yeah, but really, exactly. I'm only taking 2 seconds and like leaning towards you. And that's all it is. But in the video, it looks like this really cool, like slow, nice, perfectly smooth push in, you know?
Like, yeah, right. Exactly. There was one shot you did was you were filming behind the behind the belt. So I was like, I was grinding and I was just pulling slowly the blade across the belt, grinding tall bevel. And you had a shot like directly behind the belt, close up to it. And it was really cool seeing the blade from that angle. Cause there've been plenty of times that you shoot from that angle, you shoot from in front of me, you know, but that was like a close up of me drawing it across, and it was really clean. Like the grind was really clean and the blade was shiny. I was like, oh, that's a nice shot. I was like, yeah,
yeah, that's something you never really get to see.
Right, exactly. And, yeah, and you're looking down from above, you know.
And your grinder's being set up there now. I can get in front of you.
Right.
Which I never could before. Sometimes I'd sit up on the thing, you know. Remember that? Jump up there and I'd like, but and one time we cheated it where Dustin actually took the grinder off and put it on his middle bench because we wanted some shots in front of it.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
We with a board, we like blacked out behind you, kind of. There's this close up, so you couldn't tell where he was. So it looked like somehow we had gotten behind it where the wall would be, but instead we just moved it for a couple of shots. But we don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. Speaking of that bench, I was actually just yesterday, maybe, or I guess let's see, when Tuesday night, I just happened to like pop on a Facebook Marketplace and I saw it was a woman down just south of Overly off of Bel Air Road had posted a workbench for free on Facebook Marketplace. So it's like a basement workbench, basically one that was been built in that space against the wall, had two drawers, and on the left side it has a carpenter's vise, like a decent carpenter's vise. And so I sent a message, just, you know, the kind of the blanket message you can send, being like, is this still available? And then I just added on like, and does the vise come along with it? You know, the carpenter's vise on the side. And she got back to me and she said, yeah, it's available. And yep, everything you see comes with it, whatever. I mean, there was some stuff in the drawers which she took out. But so I went down Wednesday before I went sailing. So I went down yesterday. And I went to get it. Now, unfortunately, it's in the basement. And there's two ways. There's up through the house to bring it up, and then there's like the back way to take it out. Both ways have fairly narrow doors, and it must have been built in place, at least, like, you know, the top was off, you know, because it didn't fit out. So, and I didn't have time.
You tried to do it by yourself?
No, Sean was with me because we were on the way to sailing.
Gotcha.
So I commandeered him and we went down and we kind of took some things off of it that we could, and but we weren't able to get the top off quickly. We could do it. We were just like, we looked at it and like, okay, got to do this. Like, we might need a few more tools. And, you know, so I just asked the woman, you know, we're kind of talking, and she was like, well, if you want to come back for it, that's fine. I'll just put that it's pending up on Facebook Marketplace. And then if for some reason you can't come back, then just let me know and I'll put it back open. So Drew's going to meet me there tomorrow after work, and we're going to take it apart the rest of the way. And I think there's just like a few bolts.
You're just going to take the vise and run.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. I thought about that actually when we were there, because I had already taken the vise off the front because it needed.
Like, can I just have this?
I know. I was just like taking that and be like, all right, I'll come back for more. Yeah. But I was like, no, I'll just leave it
on. Or you could have been like, hey, it's not really worth me getting this out. Let me pay you like $10 for the vise.
Right. Exactly. Anything. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or a 20 here. I got a 20, like whatever it's worth to, you know.
Right.
That's still a good deal.
But I do like the bench. It's a nice heavy bench, and it actually will fit really well where the grinders are. So I can put that bench, because it has two drawers.
Okay.
So I'll be able to put the grinders on that, and it's really sturdy, and then I'll be able to take the bench where the grinders are, and I'll bring that outside to the smithy. Mm. So I'll have a bigger bench, a bigger table there where the small metal table is. So, and my goal really is to put like a metal top on that. And that one actually has metal legs on it that are just bolted underneath to that wooden top. So if I can get a metal, like a piece of metal, I keep tapping my
boom arm.
Sorry.
Boom. So dramatic.
I know. If I can get a piece of metal, boom. So get like a sheet of, you know, I don't know, maybe quarter inch thick steel or something, you know, it's going to cost some money, but if I can get a 2x4 foot piece of that, then I can put that table outside. So I have a nice metal table so I can clamp to, I can weld out there, I can put hot steel on it, stuff like that. And then that's the goal. So take that bench, put it down the shop with the grinders, take that other bench, bring it outside for now. And then I'll alter that and put the metal top on it. So it's going to be pretty nice thinking about grinders, but it's a little wider. I think it's just over 6 feet. So it'll still fit in that space well. But yeah, it'll be a little bit sturdier and yeah, it's funny. I was going to say, I still haven't, bolted the two grinders onto that table because I was always kind of like hesitant because it's a real thick laminate top table. And I was just hesitant to like cut into it, to drill into it. But, so maybe I'll still hold off on it and I'll just drill into this other tabletop, which is fine. And it has a back piece, like a wooden like backsplash, which actually is kind of nice. So that way the grinder, as it's throwing grinder dust and stuff back there, it won't throw it back onto the stone wall and then fall down back behind. So it has a little bit of a barrier, which is kind of nice. I might put some flashing or something there, just some metal to protect it. But
yeah. I was going to say, unless you took Sean's vehicle, how's your truck doing?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah. Truck's doing awesome. Super happy with it. I have this little True North air freshener hanging up in it, which has been really good. Gotten rid of almost all of the like musty, you know, kind of old mildew smell in there. So that's pretty much gone.
Yeah. I feel like you need something for moisture to just suck whatever out you can.
Yeah. I was sitting at Royal Farms on my way home today from work after getting a two-piece chicken finger meal. it was pouring down rain, like crazy rain. And it slowed down just enough for me to run from like the vestibule at Royal Farms, which I was waiting in, out to the truck. And I sat in the truck for just a minute, you know, like getting ready to leave, and the seal in my driver's side door apparently is not very good because it's just like dripping. I'm like pulling the door shut tighter and it's just like dripping on me. Like, I was like, oh man, I did notice that the seal part of it was coming off. So I have to like rearrange it and glue it back in or whatever. So
yeah, I had a Jeep Cherokee that had that, just the whole front top of the window seal was messed up.
Oh man. Yeah.
And I put caulking to try to do, you know, over what was already there, and it just didn't work. But that was another thing. I think I paid $900 for that 88 Jeep Cherokee, which is it's such a cool year.
That's an awesome.
Do you remember that one? It was gray. It had all the, I mean, it was pretty nice for what it was. It lasted about a year. But I love that little Jeep. And I've had so many, and it's funny. I've always kind of stumbled onto these like classics. Or like I had a 87, I think, Nissan Maxima.
Yes.
And I only got it because it's, you know, when you're looking for something under $1,000, you get whatever's cleanest.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
When you're looking for a crappy vehicle, it's whatever's there, you know. So you just end up with a Nissan Maxima or a truck or a Jeep, like whatever comes up. Like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like exactly.
Like, I had multiple people, all different types of people, like hipsters and brothers and like all, like the whole wide spread of the, like they all loved it for some reason. Like, oh man, this thing's sweet. What year is that? Oh yeah, I thought so. Yeah. I was like, all right, man, cool.
Yeah.
Man, I had two women come up to me. Two black women came up to me like, man, we used to love that. We used to party in that car, man. I said in the 80s, man, that thing was the best thing on the street, blah, blah. You know, like they loved it, man.
That was so awesome. I remember that. You would come home with stories all the time. Be like, once a week, someone would, you know, either pull up next to you and like give you the roll down your window signal or see you on the street. Especially the people in the city, especially the black people in the city. You know, they love Maximus.
They love it.
And that, yeah, it was great. You know, they're just like, you had the right car. And they were like, yes, they just like brought back so many memories. Yeah. People were like, I love
it was
that
those
car.
Chicks. It was those chicks and a little bit older fellas. You know, they'd be like, men in their 40s and 50s. They loved it.
That was so
much fun. I was like, yeah, man, yeah. And I remember I had a truck. You know, I had the old Chevy before Silverado, you know, when it was like 1500 or whatever. And
right, yeah.
The Cheyenne or whatever they called it. And people love that too. All the truck guys love that one because they would mod it and they'd fix it up. But mine just was clean because I would, like I said, I would just buy the cleanest thing under $1,000. I didn't care what it was. So if it was an old truck or Maxima or Cherokee, I'd get it. So I would, and the truck was pretty clean. It was cool, full side bed. But oh, and one more thing, on my new truck, I finally found out how to turn the floodlights on, or the fog lights. I have to pull out the because I noticed I went and took the trash out today, and I had the lights on because it was raining, and I was like, why aren't the bottom lights on? Or the running lights or whatever you want to call them. And I came in. I was like, what do I got to do? And I pulled out. And sure enough, it lit up. I was like, oh, cool. All right.
Nice.
Nice. Okay, now I got the whole. I thought it was a little dim at night. So those extra lights will be nice.
Yeah, that's one thing with my new truck is there's the headlight. You know, glass is foggy because it's there. It's like I can barely see anything. I'm like, oh, man.
You gotta clean up. I know stuff. There's all types of videos online about how to clean that stuff up and special things or it's never 100% good. Like the same thing with my old truck. That was the same thing.
Yeah. But, and even with my Ford, it was always a little bit. You know, they were never great, but these are particularly bad. So I was like, whew, I just gotta clean them up. But yeah, other than like the leak and there's an engine light on which came on like. Not too long after I got it. I mean, it sat for a year without running, and then I put a few things into it. Just like, you know, fluids. I checked everything and topped everything off, made sure everything was good to go. And, you know, there's a squeak in the belt, which needs to be handled. And
you don't,
other than that, I mean, it cleaned up really good, and I'm going to get some 33-inch tires on it because I don't really want to put a lift on it, but I want to get something bigger than what's on it, which I think are like 28 or 29s, you know. I'm even thinking about maybe pulling off those like step rails because the passenger side one is dented up pretty good. Not bad, but it's like it got hit and bent up. And I feel like if I pull those step rails, it's still not going to be that tall. Like right now, you know, I can like just step in and sit down. I don't even have to like step up to sit down in the truck. So I feel like if I pull those rails, it'll make it look a little higher in the middle.
Maybe.
And, you know, like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Once I get the 33s on it, you know, that'll be nice. It'll be a little bit bigger, sit up a little higher, and then we'll see how I feel after that. But, you know, put a little bit of work in, just enough into it just to make it feel good and give me the fizz, like you said about the Ford. Give me the fizz.
I know we keep talking on and on, but so last week we talked about I was going to take my buddy out on a bachelor party, and we did, and it was awesome.
Yeah, right on.
And at first, I had a bit ways to drive to where I was going to take him. I was like, should I just take the RAV4? I was like, no, we're going on like a dude's thing. Let me take the truck. We'll ride around in the truck. And it was great. Like, Steve loved it.
Yeah.
I'm usually not a truck guy, but this is sweet. And we had fun. and we just had fun in it. It was just the perfect, you know, a big truck's the perfect thing for a bachelor party. Like,
yeah, right. Exactly. Event.
But we had a blast. We did plenty of adult things and had a good old time, and it was good. I haven't seen him in at least a year, maybe 2 years. So it was just a real treat to hang out with him and
that's awesome
and do all that stuff.
Yeah, I like how you were mentioning to me. You know, you asked him. You're like, is there anything you know you don't want to do? You know, which is good to ask anybody when you're going to take them on a bachelor party because they might be like, yeah, I don't want to like. I don't want strippers, you know, like
those guys
say that, but you know, there's things that people are like, you just don't know what they're like at that point or what they know that their wife is not going to, or their future wife is not going to like, you know? Right. So they give you that. And I like that. He was just like, I'm up for anything. And that's what you were saying. You're like, you always love that about said, Steve.
I said, is there anything you don't want to do? And he just texted back, literally nothing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So he's like, whatever you can throw at me. I was like, all right, right on. And we didn't do anything that crazy. You know, there weren't any strippers or anything. But it was good to have that. Like, okay, cool.
And that's what you said. You always liked that about Steve because he was always up for, like, doing whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You guys are both single and younger. It was like, if you wanted to do something, like, who can I call? You know, like, you knew you could call Steve. Like, I'll call Steve. He'll be up for anything, you know?
Yeah,
like,
there's hopefully, if you're lucky, there's always that one or two people who you can kind of have any idea. Like, hey, man, you want to go to the zoo today? Like, yeah, let's go to the zoo. You know, just random stuff. And then you end up at the zoo, like, having a great time. It's like, all right, whatever.
Now that we're at the zoo, you want to eat some shrooms? Yeah, let's eat some shrooms.
You're like, Do they sell beer at the zoo? Here we go. I remember one time, him and I, we went to Philly and then New York. And then at the time, you're in your 20s, early 20s at the time, and we just had so little money that at the end of the weekend, we wanted to go to Coney Island, but I didn't even have money for the subway to get down there, and Steve did, and he bought us both subway tickets all the way down to Coney Island the last day,
nice.
And, like, we were walking by, like, a beach bar, and, like, we were so bummed that we couldn't even afford, like, a drink. I mean, we obviously had so much fun the two nights before in Philly in Manhattan, but we're just like, and we're actually discussing that, like, man, we didn't even have enough money to stop and, like, have a beer.
Right.
we'd spent every dime we both had.
You didn't have, like, you know, a credit card or something. You could just put money on, like.
No, it was like, hey, man, I'm out of money. I've got, like, $3 in my account. You've got whatever. Like, we're done. Let's go home.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, we've tapped out. We've done everything we could do. We spent all of our money. Time to head back. Sounds like the end of, like, you know, like, what's that, Deadliest Catch or something. That dudes make, like, $20,000 on a trip out, and they go back and just blow it all in a couple of nights and drinking and debauchery, and that's it. And then you go back out and work again.
Yeah.
cattle rustlers and stuff, you know.
Right, cowboys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Into town, blow all your money.
Yeah.
That's fun. But, yeah, well, speaking of Wednesday Whores. Night sailing. Speaking of debauchery.
Sorry, go ahead.
We went and we tried to get that the bench out of the basement, and we realized that we'd have to take the whole thing apart to be able to do it. We didn't have time, so we went sailing, which is what we were doing. We were heading out to go sailing. We were trying to get there a little early because we got brand new sails for our sailboat, which fucking awesome. They are so awesome. They're so pretty. They're, like, all black. You know, you usually see sails, they're white on sailboats, right? They're white sails. Ours are black. You know, it's clear with black laminate. It's a polyester laminate, I think it's called, something like that. Beautiful black, all this black overlapping stitching and black mounts, you know, all the stuff, all the everything. They're just so pretty, and they're so crispy. And, you know, in sailing, when you have a really new sail and it's really crisp and really, like, inflexible, that's like the best you can do. I mean, if anybody's ever watched, like, the World Cup, you know, races and stuff, they have almost, you know, their sails are made out of, like, hard plastic, you know, like, completely non-rigid. I mean, completely rigid, like, plastic sails almost. I mean, not all of them do, but, you know, some of those big ones do.
Even the, you know, quote unquote smaller races, they replace their sails every time.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, the crispier and the more rigid your sails are, they will hold their shape really well, and they'll catch the wind really well, which is what you want. So, yeah, we put up our new sails, and we didn't even have them up great. You know, we kind of got them up, and because they're brand new, you put them up and they stretch a little bit, and then by, like, 20 minutes later, they're all, like, they look like they're loose. Like, you didn't hang them very well. You didn't put them up very well. But it's just because everything is stretching, because it's brand new. But, oh, man, they just look so good, and we were so fast, and we were just way out ahead of everyone. And, like, after the race last night, we have on the first Wednesdays of the month, we have a cookout afterward with our regatta. And so we were all together, and just everyone was just as giddy as we were with our new sails. Everyone was like, man, they were so pretty. You guys were flying. It was so crazy. You know, it was like, well, everyone was happy.
They got to look at them.
Exactly. Yeah, they were like, man, those were nice. You know, I bet you guys were nuts over there. We were like, I just couldn't stop smiling the whole time. Oh, so nice. Oh, man. And it was high winds, too. We had consistent 15 to 18 knot winds with gusts of up to 20, 22, something like that. Like, we were rolling, you know, so much so that because we had our brand new sails up, so we have a new main and a new full head sail. So the sail on the front of the boat and the sail on the back of the boat. Brand new sails. But there are full size ones. Usually when you have higher winds, you put up smaller sails so that way your boat doesn't blow over. Right. But we had our new sails and we weren't going to put up anything but our new sails. So we had them all the way up, full sails. We have a reefing system, which means you can take some, you can pull the main down some so the sail's not so big. But it's a big reef. We like noticed it last night. It's like 6 feet between the boom and the reef to be able to pull down. It's like that's too much sail to take away. Right. So we just left it all up and you know, we were right on the edge of being overpowered most of the race, but we just, Sean was on the main cause Charles is out. Charles usually runs the main, but Sean was on the main. Our buddy Sean from Crafting a Life I Want, he was kind of just feathering the main, letting some wind off of it. So it wasn't, holding so much. And Jack was just on the helm, just bringing the boat up, feathering it up into the wind some, so that way the wind would go on the other side of the sail and not blow us over. But it pointed super well and we were just flying. It was so awesome. So awesome. Yeah. So it's funny. It was because it was high wind and stuff. It was a little bit hectic and brand new sails. And we were all like on edge because we don't want to like do something to damage them in this high wind. So everything was like, so we didn't end up getting any pictures of the first race with the sails up, but Sean did have his GoPro and he had it running from the back. So he was going to pull some stills from it today and send it out. So still waiting for those to come, but
nice. Yeah. Nice.
Super right nice. On. So, yeah, new sails. We've been sailing with, not old sails the whole time that we've been sailing, and with this crew, we've been sailing since I was in high school, like my freshman year, which was 99. it's been a long time. We've been sailing for over 20 years together, pretty much the same crew. And, we got new sails at one point or new-ish sails to us. And for a while, that was really nice on our J24, our old sailboat. And then, the new boat that we have, which is a S2 9.1, which is just under 30-foot long boat. It's a bigger boat and heavier, but all the sails that are on it are old sails, like original to the boat almost. And so we've been sailing them for the last right. season and the season before that, the half a season. And it's just like they're so old and so stretched. And that boat's so fast just on its own. So we did really well, even with the old sails, but now with the new sails. Oh, it's gonna be great.
I would love to shoot a race the way I think it should be shot.
Yeah.
Right, like I wouldn't be on the boat. That stuff right. could be covered with GoPros and other cameras.
Right.
But some type of follow boat, someone to get the start and the end and pick a spot in the middle and just plan it out where we could really, I'd need someone to, have the other boat or a motor boat.
Right. But. Yeah. I don't know what it's called, but there's a company that does sailboat racing photography. And they have a Zodiac. So like a rubber boat, that's like rubber, like blown up on both sides, hard bottom with a center console.
Yeah.
With a center console with like a double seat, almost like a motorcycle seat with two people sitting right in the middle.
Oh, nice.
And so you have one person driving and then one person sitting right behind them with the camera. So everything's like really nice and even. They can zip and they'll when we do big bay races, they'll zip around everyone and get in position and, they'll get like right in front of you and take a bunch of shots and then get out of the way before you're there. It's super nice. And having the ability, and I've seen the guy driving have the camera around his neck as well. So he'll drive around, stop, and then turn, take a picture and then pull off and stuff.
Yeah. And need somebody like that.
Yeah, exactly. But, you need someone who knows what you're going to do, or you need a little vehicle, a little like almost like a jet ski maybe, like to zip around and just take shots where you are. Right. Waterproof camera.
Right.
That would be sweet.
I was going to bring it back real quick before we move on to what we should be talking about.
Talked about the knife.
a cool video would be trying to restore there's a lot of videos about restoring the plastic on a headlamp, right? On a vehicle.
Yeah. Right.
Because I'm sure you could grind it away. It's just plastic.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You could either sand it or grind it away and just do that, and then we can make a video. We've never done a car thing, but I'm sure we could. I'm sure you could make those things crystal clear by just grinding that plastic away,
buffing and polishing, right. And yeah, and there's polishing compounds and stuff that you can buy that I've actually seen work, and they're kind of miraculous. Just put them on and buff them, and it like cleans it all up, like
right.
So it might be as simple as that. I'm not exactly sure, but maybe we'll look at it and see.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always just content. You know, like people don't have to watch it if they don't want. But then you're gonna, like you said, you'll reach a whole new audience of people who are interested in that. You know, it was like when we did the live stream on building the rails on the back of the truck, so that way I could do like the hayride in it. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it was like just like a truck thing. You know, it's like, but you know, we're still building something, but it was kind of fun.
Right.
Speaking of other, you know. Different groups of people to shoot for. We have my friend Jolie, who I sail with on Tuesday nights. She has an old wooden boat, and she actually sent me a message today. So this is actually one of like the three collaborations that I have kind of rolling on the plate right now. Is she, and this is not necessarily a collaboration. She does have some like woodwork and stuff that she'd like for me to do if I have time. Maybe we'll make some of that into a video for her boat. She has an old wooden boat, but she also was thinking that she'd like to start her own channel. So she was like, maybe what if I buy you guys beer and pizza? Maybe I can come up and hang out one night while you're shooting and pick your brain and just talk to you. How about like stuff like that? So I was like, yeah, sure. You know, like, cool. That's right. You know, we can, you know, just as long as you're not in between the camera and me and we're shooting and, you know, we're chatting and making stuff and, you know, that's fine. So that might be something we do. And, you know, if that's like, you know, do a collaboration with her on some boat stuff or something, then again, that's just a different audience to like tap into.
Yeah. Help her get her channel going. Sure.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It'd be fun.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we don't have to talk about the other collab, but so Fear of Missing Out this weekend is the Blade Show, right?
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, so Blade down in Atlanta, Georgia. There's a bunch of people to be here. Everyone's has been like posting a bunch of people that will be there. We will not be there. I think it was funny. John Nagel, who I was just doing a live stream earlier today, just to announce a little bit about the knife challenge, which the videos are coming out tomorrow, which if you're all listening to this on Friday morning, as soon as it comes out, like I know you all are, today on Friday, June 4th at noon, all the videos for the knife making challenge will be coming out.
Yeah.
All at noon. So the 10 videos all hitting the platform all at the same time. So watch them all. You know, I'm excited to watch them all because like we were talking before, it's almost like commiserating, you know, it's like all these other people are doing the same thing we did and let's see how they did that. How do they do their version of it? You know? So
right.
It'll be fun to watch them, but I was doing a live stream this afternoon, just to pop in real quick and talk to people a little bit about it and give them a little teaser. I showed them the wooden prototype knives and I showed them the fake box and stuff and, you know, just to be like, hey, you know, this is like just a little behind the scenes and a little teaser of what's going to come for tomorrow. But, yeah, so John Nagel popped on from Nagel House Forge and he's making a Viking axe right now, which is actually going to be sending to us and we're going to be making a video on putting the handle on it. So that'd be kind of fun. Little collaboration with John who we've had on the podcast, but, you were talking about, he posted something on Instagram, like someone looking out a window and be like, this is what you feel when all of your friends are at Blade Show and you're at home, not at Blade Show. And I thought about going to Blade Show for a couple of years. Now I'm not a professional knife maker, but that's, you know, that's why I wouldn't go to Blade Show for like to have a booth. I'd go to just go and see all these people, all these knife makers that I know and that I talk to on Instagram and some that I don't talk to, but maybe have like put a comment one time that they liked and responded to. And, you know, just the community, the people who love the stuff that we love, and to be out there and just to see people, we were mentioning earlier that Brian House will be there, and he's been posting a bunch over the last week being like, I'll be at Blade Show. If you're going to be there, let me know. I'm going to be around. How can I help out? Who's going to be there? What are we doing? You know, like, you can tell excited, man. He's giddy, like a little kid. He's like, what are we doing? Who's got plans for dinner? Where are we going out to eat? You know, are we going to meet in the pit? Are we going to hang out? Who am I buying drinks for? You know, he's getting ready, man. It's so funny. It's great though. But yeah, everyone's there. We're going to have, I reached out to Evan Watson, who is William Evans Designs. He does engraving, and he's, I think, the hand engraver on Instagram now. But reached out to him to be on the podcast, and he was definitely down for it. But he was like, let's wait till after Blade, because like he's going, he's got just tons of shit to do, and like everyone's like, whew, everyone's getting ready for Blade Show. So, and a bunch of people that like all the knife makers, everyone who's into like making knives or making stuff or hammers or blacksmithing or bladesmithing, everyone's getting ready for Blade Show, which is cool because, you know, last year it didn't happen. So
now did the guys, when we set this thing up, the maker challenge.
Yeah.
Do you think they plan to put it out on Blade Show weekend?
Oh, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
It kind of makes sense, right?
I don't know that. Yeah, I'm not sure, but because they started planning it, I think probably they probably started planning it in like January.
Right.
Because they reached out to me in early February to see if we wanted to participate.
I mean, they have to know when did they know they were going to have an event at this time? Back then, maybe not, but maybe they had a date for it?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think they probably did have a date for it, because I think when it originally it's around this time each year, like early in June, and it got postponed last year from early June to like October, and then, you know, a month before October, it was like, yeah, we're going to cancel it. So they didn't do Blade last year. But I think probably they probably around that time were like, okay, next year we're going to do it in the normal time. So I think everyone was kind of assuming that it would be the first weekend of June, which I think it normally is.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if Dennis and Aaron were like, you know, let's put it out that same time.
It makes sense, I guess, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. If you're at
Blade Show, everyone's talking about knife stuff, and we have this big release of all these people making knives. I mean,
yeah, right. Exactly. And you know, everyone's like doing knife stuff all day, and then you go back to your hotel room and you've got to, you know, whatever, some time to kill, and you're trying to wind down from drinking and hanging out with a bunch of people. Why not watch a video or two on the Giotto? And that's kind of cool too. You know, it's because at Blade Show, they have a bunch of different categories of like best chef's knife, best hunter, best, you know, like Balisong, best EDC knife, best folding knife. So this is like another, like, these are a bunch of makers that are all making one type of knife, and whose is the best? Like, that's pretty good. We'll definitely have to, I think it'd be fun to have either both of them, both Aaron and Tyrell and Dennis, or have them both together on the podcast. Because it was kind of them together who came up with this. I think that would be fun to like,
have. I think that would be, podcast. Yeah, we don't have a lot of like doubles.
Right. Yeah.
Other than our brothers, Derek and Drew, but no, I think that'd be nice. I mean, we could have everybody. Like, we'd love to have everybody on. And there's a bunch of people.
Yeah.
You know, we've discussed having the winner of this on, and we'll probably end up having all the guys who participated, if they want to. We'll have them on.
Well, you'll have the winner on next week.
Huh?
We'll have the winner on, because I'll be here. So. I'm already on. So, the winner of the podcast. Hey, I mean, the winner of the night challenge.
I don't know, Dust.
There is some really awesome stuff.
I'm looking at them now. I got a preview of.
Yeah.
And actually, I want to do a quick critique on your photo, Dust.
Okay. It's my photo of the thumbnail.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is a good photo. I think it's just not cropped down enough. I mean, I don't know if it's too late to...
I thought about that too. Like, I actually did crop it some, but I wanted to leave a little bit of the top of the stump so you could see the green past. I cropped off some of the top.
Yeah, but it just looks...
I could have cropped it longer. Yeah, but I also didn't want to go too narrow. Like, I wanted it to be kind of a closer to a rectangle, so... No, I agree. There's a lot of stuff, but...
A lot of headroom there.
Yeah, but that's just the thumbnail on the voting platform.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it's a good photo. I just thought maybe you could trim it at the top, but I see what you're saying. You want some green.
Yeah, because if I brought it down, then it would be all just wood around it.
I will. I will say a lot of the guys are using their thumbnail photo as their. Yeah. And our thumbnail photo is totally different.
One person that I'll say who's definitely not doing their knife justice is Brian House. His thumbnail is like it's on his anvil, and it's almost like camouflage.
You can't see it. Yeah, you can't see it.
Can't see it, and it's perfectly good for his for the thumbnail of his video. It looks great.
That's definitely a teaser. You want to go like, what is it? Is it a camo knife? Like what?
You're like moving your head around, trying to see it better from different angles.
It's a knife shaped like an anvil.
Yeah. No, it's good. I like the one, we don't want to give away too much, but the one from Faraway Forge.
It's today. So, I mean.
Yeah, right. Faraway Forge.
Go look at him.
He's holding his, and it's like he's got his arm out in the picture and. Check it out because it's pretty spectacular. Faraway Forge has like almost 600,000 subscribers.
I didn't know
that either. And I realized it and I was watching some of his videos and I was like, oh, wow, this is this guy. Like, because I had watched some of his videos in the past, like over the past years, I was like, oh, holy crap. I've been like, in my head, I didn't know his name. So it was like, okay, just another small channel, I'm just not super familiar with. Like, maybe I've seen him around, but not, right. And then I was like, he did this. Oh, that's awesome. holy crap. Oh, this is that guy. He did a really cool video that was a knife inside of a knife inside of a knife. So he took a bigger chef's knife blank.
A Russian nesting knife.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. And then cut a knife blade shape out of the middle of it, out of the inside of it. And then cut another blade shape out of the inside of that. So then and made handles for all three that fit together. Like, it was super cool. I was like, oh, cool.
But
2 years ago, but
I'm going to go down. I'm going to talk about them a little bit, each one.
Okay.
Because if you want to see it, it's today. Go look at them. Unless you're listening to this early in the morning, then, respect to you. You got to wait until 12. Ailey Knives. Mm-hmm. He's got this great, beautiful handle, but he's got this huge. It's a chunk of the middle of the knife gone, like some type of skeleton knife.
Yep.
And then he's got multiple. What is that, Dust?
You talking about like the Damascus or the San
Mai? Yeah.
I think he's got San Mai, like multiple.
Can you pull it up?
Yep. His has like where there would be a fuller or even like an S grind. It's almost like he S ground all the way through the knife. He's like, there's going to be no sticking because there's going to be no steel there. It's awesome.
That's true.
It's so cool. Yeah. His is really cool. I mean, they're all really cool, man. It's super cool to be part of this group because everyone's doing something wild, they're just super cool. They're so cool.
Yeah. So then you have, they're all great and they're all really different.
Yeah, his is Sam. I think it's regular Sam. He probably is just has like a nickel layer in between. That's that shiny layer.
Yeah. It just happens to. Everyone just said, "Hey, we're going to do this type of knife," and then everyone kind of came up with something a little different or a little unique.
Right.
So then you go down. There's a Blackbeard project, which is obviously a big channel.
Yeah.
And he's got like this two-sided, like. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing going.
Yeah, so one side looks like it's San Mai, which is like a high carbon steel inside of a low carbon, so you get two layers. And then on the other side, it's like there's Damascus on the other side and an S grind which cuts away, or like a fuller which cuts away into that Damascus, back through the Damascus, through the San Mai layer and into the high carbon steel. So it's like San Mai on one side of the blade and Damascus on the other side, but the S grind is like through the Damascus. It's super cool. It's just wild. And then his handle is, what is that?
His handle?
I know that wood, that brown wood's like pear or something. It's like, it's a really cool looking with a single like mosaic pin and then a black bolster and like brass liners and stuff. Yeah. It's sweet.
Then we go to a Faraway Forge, which we talked about. It's the size of a machete. bigger than a machete.
I was like, damn it, man. We should have had that idea. We should have made a big-ass giant knife. He's going to win just because he's got a giant-ass knife.
We should have done the smallest knife possible.
The smallest schiotto.
A little pin.
Actually, now that I think about it, when I was given the parameters of the challenge, it was a 7 to 10-inch blade.
Oh, boy.
So if you're listening, don't vote for Keaton because he broke the rules. That son
cheater,
of a bitch.
Cheater,
pumpkin eater. He's just full of pumpkin right now. but no, he's a really awesome giant Kyoto. Probably, what do you think, like 20 inches maybe? From tip to... So he doubled the parameters.
Yeah, and that's like nice. 2 feet from the handle to the tip.
Yeah, it's definitely a big boy. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I just love the picture of him holding his hand out there with like the giant knife on it. It's
yeah. Green Beetle, obviously such a pro. He's got a nice, very slim, beautiful handle. And is that, what is that, Damascus? What many, many layers of something.
Hold on 1 second. Where am I trying to find it? You're in assets right now, right?
No, I'm in...
My knife maker. Oh, I got it. Here we go. Okay. Yep. So he's got like, it's like some type of like maple barrel that's dark and, you know, brass bolster, like a WA style handle, octagon. Yeah, it's really nice. Just a straight, like, I guess, I don't know what this like pattern of Damascus was called. It's just like a straight, like, multiple layer Damascus when you taper it, you just get even lines from the heel to the tip. But yeah, it's really nice. He does awesome stuff. I love all of his just funky all of his funky Damascus, like making Damascus from nails and springs and whatever else. You know, it's like it's just awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we go down to housework, which of course, like we said, the camo knife doesn't do it justice. He's got a big one too. I don't think it's 2 feet big, but that thing is
I don't know.
I think it's a really small anvil.
He's got the 66-pound Akio anvil because I had the 125. So I think it's probably within the parameters. I'm looking at the other image. He's got this awesome etching on his, he's got Japanese characters, which he said he hopes. Say housework with his lightning bolt in between, laser etched on, forged stainless. It's beautiful. It is really beautiful.
Yeah. Man,
they're so cool. He did such an awesome job. Yeah, he does have it. It's like camouflage on that anvil, though.
And then you forge. Then you go down to. Actually, well, let me see something. Okay. You go down to Redbeard, which is the only other person other than yourself, Dust, to do a pretty clean blade.
Right. So like a mono steel. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But his is just nice, super clean, nice, thick knife.
Yeah. Really nice. Like black walnut handle with two pins like we have.
Yeah. His is like, just a really clean, straightforward knife, but, yeah, the only person who didn't cheat and, you know, do Damascus, get all the votes with, you know, hard work. Come on.
Do you see Dennis Tyrell Knifeworks blade? I hadn't seen his.
Yeah,
I saw it
killer.
Somewhere. Where did I see his?
Well, look at it. It's there on the thing.
On the Kyoto Challenge.
Go to the voting doc, the Google doc.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm using.
You're looking at that. Gotcha. Okay.
And he's right. He's one of the guys who set it up.
Yep.
And I feel like he just had a plan to ruin us all. Because it is so pretty. Have you, pulled up. It
hold
is
on, hold on 1 second.
Killer.
Where is that link? Vote here. There it is. Okay.
His is all the way at the bottom.
Okay. I don't want to sign in. Okay, whatever. Come on. All right, hold on 1 second. Hold on. Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Okay. Yep. Next. Oh, Jesus.
This is exciting.
Password.
Podcast. Oh, here we go. Well, here, I'll go one. Okay, so you do it. Sperber Knives, theirs too is such a beautiful kind of traditional looking octagonal handle. Dustin, now my phone's going. Someone's trying to log in. Is this you? Deny.
Deny.
Like, I don't know who that is.
You don't
is.
Get to see the forms. I know with our account, it's linked to both of us. So whenever I'm like, you always text me like, are you trying to log in from a PC and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Google sent notification. Tap yes on the notification. Oh, 42. There you go. 42 is the notification number.
Oh. Wait, is it? I don't think it popped up.
Say tap
it went
yes.
away.
All right, hold on. Let me resend it. 35 is the new notification number. You guys, you wouldn't be surprised how many times we do this and we text back and forth. Now it's like it happens often enough that when I do it, I just send him the notification number. I'm like, God, dude, that's
35.
Okay. Oh, there we go. So,
let's go down to Sperber.
Okay. Yep. So, Sperber has a beautiful, like, I think his is, like ladder pattern Damascus, where you create Damascus, you flatten it all out, and then you grind a bunch of horizontal lines into it and then hammer it flat again. So you grind out material and then hammer it flat, so you get this like beautiful, you know, vertical pattern, beautiful knife. Yeah, he did a really good job. I like his overall design is really nice. The one thing that I am like honest about the Giotto is I'm not super a fan of the clunkiness of the Giotto in general. I just feel like it's kind of a clunky looking knife. And so so for ours, I did a longer taper, like from the heel to out to the tip before the K tip goes down. But I do like Sperber. Not his knife is really nice. Something about it. I think maybe it's not like swooping. He's got a spine that kind of swoops toward the K tip and down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really nice. Black bolster, maybe like G10, and then some type of pretty curly wood handle.
Right. Now, the only thing about our picture is next, right? Or yep. your the Art of Craftsmanship picture.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. It's a good photo. It just, I feel like it doesn't do your handle justice.
You can't tell
that's the main feature of yours, other than the blade shape is really nice.
Right.
But the main feature of yours is kind of the faceted handle, but with that sharp back. I don't know.
I mean, you can kind of see it in the shot. It's fine. I don't think, like, I think the idea is that people will, they'll be watching the videos and then vote. Like, they're not really voting from this one shot, you know? So it's not like, oh, which one do you like the best? I mean, maybe some people will be, but I think really it's, if they're going to come here to vote, they'll probably either watch one video and come vote on that person's knife because they like that person, or they'll watch multiples and then they'll come to vote and they'll look at some of the other ones and be like, oh, that looks cool. Let me go see how he did his, you know, and then go back and forth. So I'm hoping that's what people will do. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Like the whole point, like it doesn't really matter who wins. It was just like fun to be part of this bigger collaboration. Mm-hmm. And you know, the whole point is that we all shout each other out. We all grow together. Like that's the point, you know? So,
right. No, it'll like, be good. Like you know, design, just as long as you're not last.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And in last place, Mono Steel from the Art of Craftsmanship. We got next in line is the Rivers Experience.
Yeah.
He has a Kumai blade. So Kumai is copper and high carbon steel sandwiched together. And this looks like it's a couple layers, maybe either that or it was just like hammered, but really nice. So he's got beautiful copper. I do like the shape of his K-tip as well. That has a nice taper to the tip. A nice like slim black, it looks like black G10 handle. I think you said that he did grind the handle in a way that like highlighted the different layers of the G10. It looks really nice. Nice picture too. This Tyrell with his the Rivers Experience logo there.
Right. Yeah. He must be using that for his thumbnail.
Yeah.
You can also tell who's going to probably use that for their thumbnail. They got this, the 16x9 format.
Right. Exactly. Mm. Yeah. And then Tyrell Knifeworks. Yeah. His is pretty nice. Yeah. He's got a cool Damascus. Again, you know, like he has kind of that typical Giotto style, which me personally, I think is just like a little clunky, but it does look beautiful. That like Damascus looks beautiful. And he's got this really cool black and like black dyed maple burl handle. It's an integral bolster Damascus. Yeah, it's really nice. They're so nice. Everyone did like such an awesome job.
Yeah.
These are so cool. It's a great group of guys. And I think everyone just, you know, worked hard and came up with something that looks really cool and turned out really great. And it's just kind of interesting to be part of this group of knife makers that are all, well, so Blackbeard, Housework, let's see. Out of the ones that I see, you know, Blackbeard's not a knife maker. I mean, he does knife making, but he's not. He's like us, you know. Like he does it. It has its place in his videos,
right?
Faraway Forge. He's pretty much all knife making. Ailey Knives is knife making. Redbeard Ops is knife making. Green Beetle's knife making. Housework is like us, you know. Brian is, his channel's Grinders, but that's only because he made Grinders because he loves knife making. Yeah, like the way we found Brian was because he was following along with the knife making build off, the knife talk build off or build along, and reached out to be like, "Hey, can I use your pattern for your knife to make mine and do videos?" And then you know, we became friends from there. I think Sperber and the Rivers Experience and Tyrell are all knife making channels specifically.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool to be in with a group of guys who all just really love making knives and do a good job of making videos about that and put that out in the world, you know? And so,
yeah, it's fun. And obviously there's a lot of room for so many other people to join in.
Yeah.
Like I think they talked about it. They probably reached out to a lot of people. Some of the bigger ones that people are like, "Hey, why didn't you have this guy on?" It's either they ignored it or, you know, weren't interested. So, it might expand next year, or maybe it'll be a yearly thing. I don't know. It'd be cool. We need to start our own. I don't know what version it would be. Axe making or axe hanging or bow making.
Bow making. Yeah. I was showing my students the American Flatbow video. I was like, man, I gotta do another one. I mean, it'd be fun to do like a shorter bow, like kind of like a horse bow or something, or even just a reflex deflex bow, like I don't know, all sorts of fun stuff.
We definitely have to do another one because those are always, those two are two of our biggest ones on the channel. So
right, exactly. Yeah, the flat bow, which came out this year, has almost like 800,000 views or even more.
Right.
Yeah. And the little the hatchet, Kryn's hatchet knife, hatchet video is doing really well.
Yeah.
It's still rolling. Still like 4 of 10, but I mean, it's got, you know, over 25? Yeah, almost 26,000 views, and it's been out for 11 days, so.
I like good. That. Even if it doesn't do crazy, I mean, some of the biggest ones any YouTuber will have, it goes crazy at first, you know. It's like, oh man, we hit 100,000 in like 3 days, right? You get crazy ones like that, but I just don't like when they die. You know, you get whatever 5,000 the first 2 days, and then then you're getting 20 views, and you're like, ah, man, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. This one is just like steady.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like I said, it's 11 days, and, you know, it's got 25,000. I feel like 2 or 3 days ago it had 20,000, you know, so it's still like there's a lot of people viewing it, which is cool.
Yeah.
So it's rolling pretty good.
But, before we wrap it up, again, I want to go back to just finishing this video. There was no patience in it. We had to push through. Every spare minute was finishing it, editing it. Like I was editing before we were shooting, before I was going to work. And then we'd come shoot with Dustin when I had free time.
Right.
And then we did it. And then I was editing every day.
Right.
I'm pushing. And we just got it done last night at like 12 o'clock.
Right. Uploaded. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead in and put like description and tags and stuff. And you were like, all right, well, I'll do the thumbnail tomorrow. And then you're like, well, I guess I could do it now. So then we were like,
right. I was already at the computer.
Back and forth, we were both like working on it. Yeah. Right. Oof. Got it done. And I think I posted the link to the group around like 12:20 or something or 12:30. I was like, there you go. There it is. All done. We were only a day late or, you know, it was the ideally they were all supposed to be turned in, all the video links on the first. That way Dennis from Tyro Network could have time to do everything he needed to do, get the, like, the voting stuff uploaded, all the links and all. I think on the 31st, he sent out a message being like, hey guys, you know, like, tomorrow's the day, but if you need another day or two, just let me know. It's fine. We have some time. And I was like, I just reached out right away. I was like, I appreciate it. You know, like, we may be able to get it done in time, but we could probably use an extra day or so. And he's like, not a problem. He's like, it only takes me a few seconds to update the link. So, you know, right, just let me know. And so, yeah, we posted it and good to go. Tomorrow / today, if you're listening, is the day.
And it is today, if you're listening. I've had so many issues for some reason with the 4K uploads where,
oh yeah,
there's little glitches and stuff, and I was just waiting for it. And the issue with that is, you know, you work and work and work on a video, especially with ours, they take so long. And then I watch it again when I think my edit's done in the edit suite. So I watch it, and then I tweak the whole way along, tweak.
Right.
This can go up. This can be fixed. I missed something here. Then that's nice and clean. So I'm happy with that. And then I export that into a file. Right. And then I watch that to make sure the file's good.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, so all these points, I'm like, okay, I can breathe. That's a finished video. Now I need to export it to YouTube.
Right.
And that recently has been such a cluster, man. Like, I don't know why, whatever it is, but I think the last one I did, or the one before that, I had to re-upload like 3 times, 4 times. I don't know why it happened, but I would watch it. And you have to watch it every, you can't look away, right? You can't, like, right, have it on, exactly, the background.
Yeah.
Because it only, there's these little things that happen 2 seconds, 3 seconds, these little glitches. So,
right, yeah.
Last night when I got home from work around 10:30, sat down, cracked open a beer, and started watching now. So I texted Dustin or whatever, like, yes, it's done. One upload. Like,
yeah, yes, exactly.
It's, you're clean.
Like, thank good. The Lord. One, it's perfect. Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's such a good feeling, because I've had it where I've watched 25 minutes of it or 30 minutes, and then I see something, I'm like, no, like, I was getting so close. You have to re-export, re-upload, blah, blah, blah.
Anticipation's, you know, building all along.
Like, right, and then seven hours later, you can watch. So you're watching it, in the end, okay, here comes the wrap-up here, and then the fade-out. You're like, yes! Always do, like, a little fist pump, and then I'm like, oh, we're good. We're good to go. It's clean.
It's clean. Yeah. See the stress that we go through, everyone. Make sure we have clean videos with no little glitches in them.
There was one time early on when I couldn't do the quality control check. And I said, all right, Dustin, watch it. But I was like, really pay attention, you know, just in case there's been issues. And you watched it and you were like, yeah, it's all good. And then I watched it to, like, double check. And there was like a frame off. There was a black frame or something. Something had happened. I was like, no, it's messed up. Like, there's a dropped frame or whatever. And you're like, you're like, no, it's cool. Like, I'm like, no, it's not.
I don't, it's remember not that. Cool. Just so everyone knows, I don't remember this happening. I don't, like, now when I see stuff, because you'll be like, yeah, there's a drop frame at this time, and I'll watch it. You're like, oh, there's a glitch. Yeah, you see.
I don't remember
looking for that specifically. Watching
this,
looking
no,
for
this
stuff.
This was so early that it was when I was using free software.
On her
old Mac. And it was so slow that I couldn't really watch things back in real time. Right. That's, there'd be right. Like, it would slow down. So I never knew if there was a black frame somewhere, which I think there is one in our first one ever. Like, there's a black frame in something else where I didn't edit together correctly. And since it was so bad at playback, I couldn't tell. And it was one of those. So you did have to, I'm sure you just watched it as a normal person. Like, hey, I'll watch the video and see if there's any issues.
Right.
But my thing was like, you have to watch it the whole time. You can't look away.
Right.
Like, you have to stare at it for 30 minutes.
You're looking for every frame.
You're working for, you're looking for one black frame in between shots. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what you missed. So I don't blame you, but I was like, no, there's a, and you were like, it's fine. I was like, and I think I, because you're such a perfectionist on actually making the thing.
Right.
I was like, if there's a scratch in your blade, like, is that fine? Because that's what this is. This is a big, giant mark on my blade that, yeah, maybe right. the normal yeah, exactly. person wouldn't tell, but to me, it's like it's blindingly there. Glaring.
Yeah, right. That's good stuff.
And you were like, okay, all right, I get it.
That's yeah, cool. right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I hear you. Man, when I go back and watch that first video, I'm still impressed at how good that video is. Like our first video, the knife making, then I was like, damn, that's a good ass start to this channel. You know, it's like we got the whole stuff outside, you know, like the whole intro was really good. I felt like I was pretty natural on camera. And I was like, man, we did pretty good. I think we were onto something, I think, right away.
only downhill cool. from there.
Yeah, exactly. all right. Well, I know you talked about your recommendations. So I'll say mine and then you can kind of review yours again. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation this week is a knife maker. His name is Andy Gaynor, and he is on Instagram. His Instagram channel is @fire_knives. Mm. And I found him. I don't know exactly how I found him, but I think it was just, it was probably like I follow a tag that's Chef's Knives or Bushcraft Knives or something, and I saw one of his knives pop up. And I noticed that he's from Middle River, Maryland. So oh, I was right like, on. Holy crap. Like, that's awesome. So I put a comment on one of his posts, you know, and just saying like, oh, this looks great or whatever. And he commented right back, you know, fairly quickly after that and was like, oh, I love your channel. Da, 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 da. And I was like, awesome. That's great. You know, like, I appreciate your work. This is a great job. And it was just cool. I was like, yeah, I'm a fellow Marylander. I let him know I was up in the Hunt Valley area, you know, and he's like, oh, I love it up there. Yeah. So it's cool. He's like down in Middle River. So, which is pretty close to us here in Baltimore, Maryland. So,
yeah, there's a couple channels that are, and Instagram people that are in Maryland. We have to have like a meetup. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah. Be like, yeah, just, that'd be kind of cool. Just post a thing, be like Maryland, you know, makers, like, knife makers, yeah. YouTube content creators, like let's all meet up, you know, at like Little Havana down in Locust Point or whatever, down mm-hmm. Federal Hill or something, or
yeah.
let's all meet up and, you know, I don't know, somewhere out in the county or something. Who knows? But yeah, so Fire_Knives, his really awesome knives. He does really beautiful work. He was an executive chef and former executive chef and sushi ninja. Born again bladesmith after 15 years in the trenches. But he's just doing some really beautiful knives. And I was looking through his work and he's got one posted from, March 29th. And it's really similar to our, Giotto. It's not a K tip. So it's got a rounded tip, but a really nice taper and beautiful handle.
Is that the guy you were talking about?
I know. I just found him like 2 days ago. So.
Okay. Well, there was a guy you were talking about who did just do or maybe we were talking about like how rough it is for someone doing a Giotto knife.
Oh,
right. And then all of a sudden you like post it. You're like, hey, no one's done this for a while. And then 10 YouTubers do it. And you're like, come on. Or they do it right before you're about to put yours out.
Like, yeah, exactly. You know that. Yeah. You know, there's somebody who's going to put out like a chef's knife video on Friday at like 4 o'clock and we're all putting out our videos at noon like, tomorrow. Yeah. You know,
the whole, it's just root swamped with
the market is just K-tip, full of K-tip Giotto.
I'm not doing another one of those for 3 years.
Damn it. That's so true. It's so funny. Yeah. When that happens, you put something out and you're like the day before someone else puts something out or like right around you, a couple of people put out the same type of thing. You're like,
yeah, and people are like, oh, why'd you have to copy, like, blah, 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 you know? You could just do your own original thing. Like, it takes weeks to do these. Like, I don't know what to tell
exactly.
you. Mine is Linus Tech Tips. If you want to build a computer or do something, it's right. worth it. It's definitely very clickbaity. Some of the guys are annoying, but it's a huge channel. They get at least 1 million views per video, and they make 17 videos a week, so... That's they don't crazy. All get 1 million, but it's a huge, huge channel.
Yeah, right.
Real quick, Dust, I want to do a Dear Dustin
okay.
before we wrap up. Here we go. Dear Dustin. Let's see. Oh, which one? Oh, why non... dear Dustin, why non-magnetic, please? He's just asking, making a knife from a metal file, which we brought up earlier. The yeah, why non-magnetic? Why do you have to bring it to non-magnetic?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Why non-magnetic? Yeah, because the beauty of when you take a high carbon steel knife and you heat it up to its critical temperature, and its critical temperature is when it gets to the point where it has, it's no longer, all of the carbon and the iron molecules are floating around independently. So high carbon steel, the reason why it's hard is because the iron and the carbon molecules are locked together in a tight pattern, which like makes the steel really hard. When you get it up to its critical point, which is 1475 or whatever for some standard knife make, or you know, kind of basic high carbon steels, when you hit that temperature, it becomes like a in a liquid state kind of inside, and all the molecules are moving around independently, and you know it's in that state when it becomes non-magnetic. So it like it hits that state, it's non-magnetic, you know it's in that state where it's kind of floating around, and it goes from, I can't remember the process, but there's austenite and martensite, these two different types of you know, patterns of steel, you know, iron and carbon molecules, and then when you quench that blade in non-magnetic, then it locks all those molecules in this kind of, you know, irregular pattern, so that way they don't have a chance to move apart. So the iron and carbon molecules don't move apart and get in a new pattern. When they lock together in iron and carbon together, then it creates a really hard steel. And then you temper it, and by bringing it up to a certain point, it lets them move around a little bit, and it softens it some, so that way it's not so brittle and it becomes more durable and strong and tough. But yeah. It's a great thing in nature that when you hit that critical temperature, the blade becomes non-magnetic. So it's really easy for us to test, because you heat it up in the forge and you put a magnet on it, and when it hits that and the magnet's not sticking, then you're ready to quench.
So thank you. That was from Ian Hobbs. Thanks, Ian. Oh, he also had another comment. Why waste time with such a small ferro rod when a 6-inch ferro rod is available? Now, I don't know if that's a dick joke or he's actually has a 6-inch ferro rod, but
why take 3-inch ferro rod when you could take 6-inch? Hey, baby, we love you all the time.
We don't know that he's Asian, Dustin. Come on here.
You know, whatever. So no, 6-inch ferro rod. I don't know. I don't even know how long ours was. Maybe it might have been 4 altogether with the handle. So 3 1/4 or something. But, you know, it fit better on the side of the knife if it's shorter like that. So
some men are longer than others.
You might as well tell stories about me again. That's just the ones that I had available. I just went out. I was like, I think I picked up those ferro rods at Dick's Sporting Goods or something and cut off the plastic handle, put on the little, but I kind of like that size. I think it's a good size. I don't think you need it any longer than that. I've seen some smaller ones and they're a little tight, but I think that's a good size. It does the good job. You know, it's not the size that matters. It's the way you use it.
Hey-o. It'll start a fire.
Exactly. It'll start a fire.
It'll get you warm.
I've never not been able to start a fire with that size. What are we talking about again?
We've lost track here. Okay. Brian Gerner says, dear Dustin, love your videos, but I'm sorry, ... which is always a great start to a... Yeah. And it's always a prelude to an insult. A cat could have gotten its tail stuck in the angle grinder, and the resulting sound would have sounded better than the song at 7:30-ish timestamp.
I saw that quote, and I checked out the song.
Right, you did respond. You said, LOL, they're not always for everyone.
I did, yeah. Because I was like, you know, it's funny because I would say the majority of the comments we get on the music are like, oh, I love the music. It's awesome. Where do you guys find this music? Or people would be like, oh, is that this song at whatever, this timestamp, you know?
Right.
So like very rarely, I would say 1 in 100 comments that are talking about the music are like, I can't stand the music. Like, what right. are you
why,
doing?
Why the guitar music all the time? And some people, I don't know if people, again, maybe they don't realize, or they do, but it's us playing. Well, me and Matt just playing, and that one was me, Matt, and Matt.
Right.
A drummer. Yeah. We're just. It's just jamming, a couple guys just, jamming. Yeah. Yeah. So it's fine. I understand. There's little things here and there that aren't perfect, but we just jam for 7 minutes and then pick another chord progression. And what you maybe don't know is I'm the rhythm guitar. So I'll pick, hey, we're going to do these chords. And then my buddy, Little Matt, and we've had him on the podcast and he did live stuff. We got to have him back. That was a great podcast.
It was awesome. Yeah.
So if you want to hear
a few
him,
people talk about that podcast. Yeah.
If you want to hear him play, he's amazing. But I would go, hey, these chords here, I'm just going to play this. I came up with this little nice chord pattern. And then he just goes off for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Until I give him the eye, like, wrap it up here. And we end. So, yeah, maybe. But it's not, we're not just getting the music from a free source music thing where everyone else
right,
gets their,
exactly.
their bullshit electronic music. Yeah. We're actually sitting down, going and recording jams and then putting them up. And I think they're pretty good. So,
yeah.
Watch your mouth.
A cat. What did it say? A cat with its tail in a grinder would sound better.
A cat would have gotten its tail stuck in an angle grinder, and the resulting sound would have sounded better than the song at 7:30. All right.
Wow, that guy was passionate.
Oof, he was like, "Cat, this thing's terrible." All right, sorry.
Cat comment. Man, that's great.
I think we got just one more.
All right.
Okay, here we go. H Bomb Kapow says, "Dear Dustin, 1863 was when that vice was finally patented as the solid box leg vice, but had been made with a key that was solid forged with the main thread / housing as one piece.
Right.
The fact that yours has a key that's welded on means that it's from the original design created about 1820.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, it was what the research that we did, and he's referencing the post vice that we restored. The research that I did was pointing at that same time, early 1820s, because I did see that the patent on the solid box with the cast threads on the inside was later, was 1840s or 1850s or whatever it was. So if it's what we have, it had to be before that, and that's why we knew that it was probably around like a good 200 years old, right? 1820, it's 2020 now, so
yeah,
2021, right?
201 years old,
yeah, right around that 200 mark. But
yeah, and that was that's what we thought.
Cool.
But he just put it nice and clearly, and
yeah, no, that was really good. I saw that comment. I appreciated that one too. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's good. Anytime someone can like back up kind of what our thoughts are, you know, because I mean, I'm not a post vice expert. You know, I did some research on it. I reached out to a few different people and got some other people's advice. And, you know, so I knew that what I was saying in the video was at least backed up by some research and some other, you know, so it wasn't just one source. It was like I did one source and then I found another source. And so I had a couple different sources who are all, everyone was backing up my thoughts. So then, you know, in that situation, usually when I say something in a video, it'll be based off of multiple points of data.
Right.
So I was but trying it, to get a couple of different points, but yeah.
It is that's why you ask for, hey, does anyone know? Because we're not just asking to get more comments. We do want to know. And we know there's people out there who know more than all the stuff we talk about, obviously, than you do or I do. So it's great to have those people go, oh, yeah, like just, yep, you're right. This, cool.
I'd love to know if anybody knows about the Fisher stamp on it.
Oh yeah,
it has Fisher, and it's not like Fisher is a fairly well known anvil brand, but it's Fisher, and what it says on the post vice is Fischer. So
right.
It's Fisher, but spelled differently. So when we saw Fisher, I was like, oh, it's Fisher. That's awesome. Like, great to know. And I was like, wait, that's not how Fisher spells
their
name. So. Anybody knows that information, let us know.
Cool. That is still a mystery. Yeah.
It's a mystery.
Yep.
Cool. Nice. I like the Dear Dustin stuff. That's good.
There you go.
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. It's been another good one, guys. Check out all of the videos on the YouTube Maker Challenge, Gyoto Knife Challenge, whatever we want to call it. We kind of talked. It was funny. Like, the group of us were talking, like, what do you call it? Do we call it this? Do we call it this? Do we all have to call it the same thing? Like, or do we just call it what we think will work best? Or do we title them? Or do we do the same tags? You know, so, like, we kind of went around, and it kind of just ended up being, like, we'll just kind of call it what we want. You know, Dennis Tyrell did the promo video that was like, you know, YouTube Maker Challenge 2021, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're all making the same knife. So right. I think a lot of people have different versions of that same thing. But go check out the videos. They're going to be super fun. I'm super excited to see it. And, you know, if you're down at Blade Show and you're listening to our podcast, I really appreciate it. You know, shout us out down there and check out the videos. See all the different makers that are out there. And
I hope you're having fun.
Tell your friends about us. And we look forward to seeing what everyone thinks. You know, hopefully we get a lot of action on this and a lot of people voting and see whose knives everyone likes the most. I'm super excited to see the videos because all we know now is just the pictures of the knives. You guys don't even have that luxury yet, or maybe you do because you're listening to this on Saturday.
Yeah, but, yeah, right.
Yeah, but, you know, I've only seen the pictures, so I'm really excited to see how the different people have made their knives and how they present it and how they do it in a way that's, like, interesting and fun, so...
And maybe next week we can, I mean, we're definitely going to be talking about what happened.
Right.
Maybe we can have someone on, one of the knife makers or the two guys who started it or the winner.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that'd be good. We'll reach out to somebody, you know, we'll definitely, I don't think it'll be super hard to get somebody on for next week from the challenge. So we'll do that.
Right.
Cool.
So check that out. You can find our video, obviously, on our YouTube channel, The Art of Craftsmanship, and the other, like, sneak peeks and stuff. I'll be putting up more pictures of the knife on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can also follow Devin at The Art of Camera Guy. I'll try to do some live streams there. Live streams on Instagram are easy. They're much easier than YouTube just because the like, getting everything set up is easier and the quality is easier, and I feel like it's a little bit less formal, so I like to do it there. I don't feel awkward if I just pop up and do a live stream for 10 minutes or something and then, you know, stop it. I feel like if it's on YouTube, it needs to be a little bit more prepared and ready to go. So, right. But either way, you know, I like doing the live stream so you guys can follow us there. And then obviously if you want to support the podcast and, our channel and what we do, you can go over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and, give us some love there, man. We really appreciate it. And for all of our patrons, thank you all so, so much. I meant to say this earlier, but, Ben Butler from the Housework or the Work For podcast and Mike Hawkins, one of our patrons and one of our longtime subscribers, and myself are coming up with a new sign for the Smithy. So we're working on that. And we've been kind of posting back and forth pictures of the ideas of that. So look forward to that too.
Cool.
All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next week with hopefully with somebody from the maker, from the YouTube Maker Challenge and and the results from the YouTube Maker Challenge as well. Talk to you all next time.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.